The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I hope you're having a wonderful Thursday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a short series we're calling Revelation, Letters to the Seven Churches. You can find out more about our ministry by going to faithalone.org. I'll come back at the end to tell you more about that. But as for now, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Bob Wilkin, and I'm here with
David Renfro.
Well, David, we're doing a series on Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and I believe we've come to the letter to Pergamos, and that's chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Mm-hmm. What is this city of Pergamos?
Pergamos, it's interesting, the name Pergamos means parchment. It was a manufacturing city, a city of a lot of commerce, a lot of business. Some people say there was also a lot of what we would call trade unions. And guess what? Each trade union had its own god and goddess. So there was lots of pagan. It was a center of many pagan cults. It was a beautiful city. It had a library of over 200,000 volumes.
Wow. Those would be handwritten books.
Oh, man.
This is well before the 15th century when the printing press was invented.
It was also the center of emperor worship and also had altars to all the major gods and goddesses of Rome and Athens, like Zeus and Athena and all that. So it was a major city in that area for a lot of different things. It was an important city, and so it's no surprise that there would be a letter written to it.
Right, and the Lord identifies himself in kind of a unique way in this letter.
As the sharp, two-edged sword.
Yeah, he's the one who has that. And don't we see that expression in the book of Hebrews?
We do. And what does that mean?
The Lord's tongue is like a two-edged sword dividing as far as soul and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is the word of Christ is powerful, living, active, sharp, cutting. It's what we need to grow, but it can be what we need to avoid going into the weeds and going into the way of death, the way of pain and suffering.
Right. And in chapter 19, verse 15 of Revelation, it's the very thing by which the Lord Christ judges everything.
Mm.
His word is perfect. Therefore, it is the proper basis for judgment upon the world.
Yes.
So, you know, Pergamos was a perfect target for the two-edged sword because, like I say, it was a center of a lot of pagan cults, which taught a lot of lies and falsehood concerning the Lord.
Right. Now, this letter has both commendation and rebuke. So let's start with the commendation in verse 13.
Right. He says, I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. I take that to mean because Pergamos is a major center of pagan cults, that's why he calls it that. That Satan is alive and well and ruling in Pergamos because
right.
of all those cults.
But of course, today we could say the same thing, right? Satan has a presence in our world today.
Exactly.
In fact, he's called the god of this world. And so until we get to the millennium, he won't be bound.
Right.
He's free to try to keep people from coming to faith. And when they do come to faith, he's free to try to keep us from being fruitful and productive.
Right.
But, you know, ultimately, we're in the Lord's hands. The Lord allows only that which we can bear, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13, he won't allow any temptation or difficulty that's greater than we can bear.
Exactly.
So we take comfort in the fact that greater is he that's in us, the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world, Satan.
And that should comfort us. Once again, it's the idea of making sure we keep a proper perspective on bad things that happen to us.
Right.
You know, it's not God is angry at us. There's something else going on. So he says, I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas, which is probably a believer that lived in that area, my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So the Lord did give this church a lot of commendations in light of where they live and in light of what some of their people, their fellow believers were going through, like this Antipas.
And that's what we're called to do, is hold fast Christ's name, to hold to our faith and not deny our faith.
Exactly.
We're to be people who are confessing Christians, who are worshiping Christ in a corporate body, and this is part of our witness, our public witness, as we're in church, etc. And we're not to be secret believers. We're not to be believers that nobody knows we're a believer.
Exactly. And not deny the faith.
Certainly not deny the faith. Now, we go into some rebuke here, though.
I have a few things against you. This is in verse 14. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. This is in the church. This is somebody, maybe a group of people that have come into the church here in this city, and they're trying to essentially take over the church with false doctrine. This false doctrine is called the doctrine of Balaam. If you want to read about Balaam, go to Numbers chapter 25. And it is, let me do the bottom line on this.
Yeah.
Thing. What Balaam was all about, he was a representative of the Moabites, remember, to curse Israel as they were entering the land. The idea here is the allowing immorality and allowing essentially pagan prostitution into the... He wanted to pollute the pure worship of the Lord inside the Israel. And these people are doing the same thing in the church. They're importing pagan beliefs into the church and calling it Christian.
Yeah, so we don't know exactly what they were doing. And of course, there's a big debate as to whether Balaam was a believer or not. He seems to be a prophet, and yet God takes his life later.
Right.
But that seems to be because he basically sold his prophetic gift and ended up giving advice that caused Israel to experience a plague. And so it could well be that Balaam is a believer.
But he went way out.
The same thing with these people in this church. It doesn't mean they're unbelievers.
Right.
It just means they've got a doctrine that is destructive.
They hold a bad doctrine, and they're promoting bad doctrine. So it's like either follow the Lord and his law, or you're going the pagan way. It's not a mixture, and that's what the problem is these people in the church were trying to intertwine Christian belief with pagan belief, that he called the doctrine of Balaam.
But that would never happen today.
Never. We are pure as the driven snow in the church, aren't we?
Right,
and
right.
If you believe that, I got beachfront property in Kansas to sell you.
I don't think Kansas is on the coast. And what is this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate?
It probably, what I read is, nobody knows.
Thank you.
So
I
next,
don't know.
No. It probably is similar to what Balaam taught. The idea here is, once again, the problem in this church was allowing foreign pagan ideas to be tolerated inside the church. Whether it's Balaam or the Nicolaitans, doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know.
But now this leads to the call to repentance in verse 16. And what's really interesting is there seems to be a shift here between you and them, which is kind of odd. Notice it says, repent, or else I will come to you
quickly.
And then he says, and will fight against them. He doesn't say we'll fight against you. He says, I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
Right.
Who's the you and who's the them?
I think it's the you is the faithful believers in the church, and the them is the Nicolaitans and the Balaamites, so to speak. And they may all be believers, but once again, God's reputation's at stake.
Right.
And if they're tolerating pagan concepts and practices in a church, then the Lord has to judge that, which means he'll come against them with the sword of my mouth, the word of God. The word of God is the standard.
Unless they repent.
Unless they
repent. Repent or else.
And I take it that this judgment is not a loss of, you lose your salvation if you go this way.
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible. What I think is, it's a loss of reward.
Yeah, both now and in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you will suffer certain things in this life, and you will certainly suffer loss of reward in the next.
Yeah, I think that's right. So here's, like in many churches, you've got people who are faithful, but not necessarily everybody's faithful.
Right.
And so there's a call for those people to repent.
Exactly.
All right. And then he says, which we've heard in the other letters, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is a call to basically apply what you're hearing.
Yeah.
And then he says, to him who overcomes, we've heard that before, By the way, we've not talked about that, but that's the Greek word nikao. We get the name Nike and the brand, the sports brand Nike from this. Mm-hmm. Nike was the Greek goddess of victory. And so to the one who is a victorious Christian, to the one who overcomes, he's going to give several things. What are these things?
Hidden manna. I take it that that essentially refers to future reward of some kind. It could also refer to Christ, the bread of life.
Right.
You know, that kind of hidden
manna.
And
there was manna literally in the wilderness
exactly.
for 40 years.
Exactly. It could be spiritual food. I think, bottom line, I think it's a special reward of closeness with Christ.
Okay. And then there's also a white stone, and on the stone is a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Well, and of course, the Lord Jesus. So this is what, some kind of special pet name or some nickname that Jesus will have for a particular overcomer?
Which represents a special relationship. There's lots of us believers, but we will have a unique, special relationship with our Lord that is expressed by having a new name.
And we're going to have like a piece of jewelry, a white stone.
A white stone.
With a name on it. You know, when I worked for 1 year during seminary for a courier service, and my nickname was Stilts. And back then, this was before cell phones and everything, we had these Motorola handsets in our car. I remember they would call me and they'd say, Stilts, we need to go to such and such address. And I got a kick out of it because I'm not that tall, but 6'6", you know, I was mm-hmm. taller than most of the people.
Sure.
But it kind of gave me a warm feeling because they cared for me and they gave me a nickname. Well, the fact that Jesus will give you and me a special name, a pet name that only he and you know, and it's going to be on a piece of jewelry. That's kind of special,
isn't
it?
That's a special name.
Yeah.
You know what my name was?
What?
In intramural football,
what?
Stephen F. Austin? No grip.
No.
Because I couldn't catch a pass.
So you were the center.
In fact, they called me No Grip, a legend in my own time.
All right. Well, we better wrap this up. Thank you so much, David, for another good discussion of the letter to the church at Pergamos. And keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue in our series, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.